Open up your Bibles, and we're going to continue in our time together in Ezekiel chapter 47. I told you last week that this week I was going to cover the last two. I covered two last week, and I was going to cover the other two this week of the things that are in Ezekiel 47 verses 1 through 12. I lied, because as I put together this message this week, I realized that there's more than I could share today for two, so next week I'm going to take care of the fourth one. Today's the third one, okay? When I say I lied, I didn't know I lied. I thought I was going to do it, but the Lord had other things in mind. So with that in mind, also, as you're opening up your Bibles to Ezekiel 47, I want to make sure that we pray for certain people in the church. Fred Skorbrand was mentioned in our announcements. He's in the hospital. He has some fluid buildup, and they're giving him some LASIK and stuff. So we need to pray for him that physically he'll do better. He's getting better, but please pray for Fred. And we're going to do this in just a few moments as we open up, as we pray for our message here today and also for these needs. Also, Ann Gray is out of the hospital. We thank God for that. She's been dealing with some dehydration due to some chemo that she's been taking, and she's been losing some fluid that way. There's other needs that are represented in the church. I know. I don't want to forget them. Anybody want to call out a name? Please help me out here. Anybody? Lucille Garrison. That's right. Thank you. I spoke with Richard yesterday, a gentleman who's been watching her, and she's been this week kind of fighting eating and stuff. So she's kind of got a little bit of a something going on there. We need to pray for Lucille. Someone you said? Brenda Pittman. Thank you. That's right. Brenda Pittman. She's got some surgery taking place tomorrow, some discs that have been ruptured in her back. That's the one I was trying to think of too. Thank you. Someone else?
How about Christian?
Who's this?
Christian.
There's other needs, I'm sure. I'm not sure who you're speaking of, but there's several needs, but those particularly physically. And also, before I forget, Loran Livingston, who pastors at Central Church of God, has gotten COVID, and that's concerning only because he's had asthma all of his life. I just found this out yesterday as well. He's had one of his lungs entirely removed, and another one's just a third of a lung. So he's, you know, with COVID, that kind of attacks your respiratory system. He's a powerful pastor up in Charlotte at Central Church of God. He and his wife and several people from the church contracted it somehow. I'd like to pray for him as well. And let's also pray for any other needs. The lady that you spoke of, Jason, and anybody else. Is there any needs in the church? Just by the lifting of your hand, the Lord knows what's going on. Just lift up your hand, put it right back down, and the Lord knows what's going on. Yes. Hands everywhere. Yes. Oh, Christian. Yes, Christian. I know what you're talking about. The little guy, Christian. Physically, he needs some healing. Very good. That's Sharon Mungo's son. Very good. I got you. Okay. I know who you're talking about now. Let's bow our heads in prayer and pray for these needs. Father, you know the situations that are going on physically in each life. Lord, also the situations maybe of the hands that were raised here. Maybe there's some emotional or financial or relational needs. Things that are going on that only you know the details of. And Father, we pray for your healing power right now to touch each life, whether they're in the hospital or recuperating at home or they're getting ready to go in for some procedures this week, whatever the case may be, you know the details of it. And we pray that by your mighty hand, that you would reach down right now and touch each life and bring healing and wholeness to each life. Each need that is represented here, Lord God, we pray that you would restore, mend, strengthen, guide, provide, do the work that only you can do. And we give this over to you and thank you for it. Lord, also now we pray that you'd open up our hearts to receive a word from you and that you'd help us to leave here equipped and challenged and changed and strengthened and renewed. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do here today. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, we're glad to have you here. We've opened up to Ezekiel chapter 47. A real quick review from last week, if you weren't here, just to give you an understanding of what we were talking about, how Ezekiel chapter 47, for all of like eight or nine chapters, the last several chapters of Ezekiel, starting in Ezekiel 40, this angel, or maybe it was Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, that gave Ezekiel some visions and took him on basically a tour of some different things in the spirit and said, look at this, look at this, and look at this, and was prophesying some different things to Ezekiel of things that were going to take place in the near future and in the distant future. And Ezekiel 47 has got these interesting 12 verses in there that are seem to be kind of tucked away, kind of the other things that are surrounding it kind of doesn't seem like it has much to do with what these 12 verses are talking about. But it's a prophetically, it's prophetically talking about what God's chosen people, what God has planned for his chosen people, the Jews, but also we as grafted into the vine, he has for us as well. And so it's not just physically the plans, but it's also, you can apply this in a spiritual sense of what the Holy Spirit has plans and desires to do through his church. Now we see in the Old Testament that God's temple was a building. You can read all throughout the Old Testament, and the temple was a place that they established and went and visited. And there was temporary temples, but there's also permanent ones. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, you and I are the temple of God. He resides in us. And so with that sort of template there in place, with that understanding, that foundation, that's where Ezekiel turns the corner, and where the Holy Spirit wants to turn the corner with us. As you read through Ezekiel 47, I'll give you a real quick synopsis. He sees this temple, and he sees a river. Really, it starts out as a stream flowing out from the temple, and as it goes out from the temple, it deepens and widens to the point where it starts out as an ankle, then it goes to the knee, waist, and then by the time he finishes, last time he measures it, it's all the way over his head, and it's unpassable, uncrossable, as it's described. And then he goes back to the banks of the river. You see trees there. There's a lot of fish in the water. We'll talk about that today. And then it moves on from there in these 12 verses, and it talks about leaves on the trees, and there's fruit that produces every month for food and for healing. We'll talk about that next week. But today, we're going to talk about the idea of how this river that is coming out is all about the abundance, all the different fish and all the different things that are going on there. But as a review real quick, we talked about the first two things last week were that God, if God was a business owner, a CEO of a business, remember that? And we were his employees, what would God's business be? What's that one word? His business is what? Souls. That's right. God's business is souls. We are his employees. And so if his goal is souls, if all that he's focusing on is restoring people back to right relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross and expanding his kingdom, and if we are his employees, that should be our goal as well. I had a gentleman ask me yesterday here from the church, Pastor, what can I do to take the load off of you? I'm just concerned. I want to make sure that you're okay. And he was batting around a couple of options and ideas. And I said, you know what would really be helpful to me? And I'm going to pass this on to you all. Is certainly there's some projects that we can do around the church as far as repairs and maintenance and upkeep and all that. Great. But you know what would be helpful to me? Is not worrying so much about what's going on in the four walls of this church. But I think what would help lighten the load for me, and therefore I think, I know, lighten the load for Jesus Christ, because all of us, that's what his desire is you would look out beyond the four walls of the church and figure out what you can do to make a difference, to expand God's kingdom, to go out and save people's souls, to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, to go out and be on the offensive and make a difference to get people saved and born over into the kingdom. If you want to help me, you do that, because as you're doing that, you're helping the kingdom, and that takes the load off of me. That way I don't have to do all of it. We can all do it together, right? Fair enough? So that's the best way that you can help the church of Jesus Christ. Me as their pastor, I may be, you know, full-time here, and that may be my title, but that doesn't mean that I'm the only one that's responsible to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is like a huddle every week. We get together like a football team and we huddle. And we say, okay, this is our play. This is our plan. This is what we're going to do. Ready, break. And then we break and we go out and do what we are being instructed to do. We apply it. It's not just informational, but it's transformational. It's not just something that we absorb in our hearts, but it moves out into our legs and our hands and our feet. And we walk this thing out every day of our lives as we shine the light of Jesus Christ throughout our community. So that's what this is all about. That's what God's business is all about. And we're His employees. And I want to be a good employee. How about you? I want to be a productive employee. I want to make sure I'm going to get my bonuses and my raises and my promotions. I want all those things to happen as I'm working for the kingdom. I don't want to slack. I don't want to sit around while the boss is not watching and work on my cell phone, you know, or not work at all until he shows up, and all of a sudden I'm sweeping. No, I want to work. I want to work. I want to work until he comes. And I want to be a good employee for him. Just like you would be a good employee for those that you collect a paycheck from every week if you're still working and not retired. But God's business, as we looked at last week, first one was if he had like a plan of what he wanted to do, his goals. If he had a mission statement, his first one would be that it's all about expansion and not contraction. That's what we looked at last week. Remember the river of the Holy Spirit that flowed? It went out from the ankle to the knee to the waist to the overhead. It's constantly expanding. God's business is always on the grow. Second thing we looked at was that it's his business format, his business model. It's all about transformation and not stagnation. Even though the gospel message never changes, Jesus is always going to be the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way, and the only truth, and the only life to God the Father. He's the only way that we can be saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast, not by who you're related to, not by anything else. It's only through the finished work of Jesus Christ that you and I can be saved. That message never changes, but the way that we convey it must change as we move through the decades and technologies and opportunities and ways to do it give us new opportunity, like those little boxes that we can take down to the Amazon jungle and preach the gospel that way is a prime example of that. Everywhere the river of God, everywhere the Spirit of God flows, it changes things. As His temple, that river is flowing out from us. It's no longer a building like it was in the Old Testament. In that vision that Ezekiel had, he's saying now, the Holy Spirit is saying now, that river flows through you and flows through me. And so we let that river flow out from us, and everywhere that river flows out, it changes things. Remember we talked about exploding dynamite. Bam! Exploding dynamite. Everywhere we go, our exploding dynamite of the Holy Spirit changes things. How many of you know that I would set a big old box of dynamite in here and I would have set it off? Would that transform this building somewhat? You bet it would. And that's what God's called us to do. To go in to whatever situation that we're in and be like exploding dynamite that transforms people's lives and their situations for the good and for the glory of God. And we have that capacity in us through Christ to completely transform those lives that we impact for God's kingdom. Think about it. Everywhere Jesus went, when he was walking the earth, he transformed people. He transformed things. He transformed situations. Dead were raised. The lame were walking. The blind could see. People were saved and delivered. They were delivered from demonic possession. Everywhere he went, he changed lives. There was no longer a funeral procession. Now we were having a celebration. There was no longer a death for a little baby. We're getting ready to celebrate a one-year-old birthday party now. No longer am I blind and depending on someone. I can walk around and see and be like anybody else. Jesus transformed lives. And that's what he wants to do through us, like exploding dynamite. Amen? God's business is always transforming lives. Today I want to look at the third of God's business model, and that is this. Write this down. It's on the screen. God is in the business of abundance and not lack. God is in the business of abundance, not lack. Now, this is such a broad statement when you really think about it. So I want to really narrow this down because we need to answer the question, abundant in what? Abundant in what? Now, I've certainly heard a lot of sermons about how God wants to provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And I believe that because God's Word says it. God does want to provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We also know that God's Word says that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns a whole lot more than that. In other words, He owns everything. God, our Heavenly Father, is rich. He's got a lot of money. In fact, He owns it all. Isn't that good to know that our Daddy God, our Heavenly Father, owns everything? Huh? How's that? That's not bad, huh? So when we look at that, we're King's kids. And this is how we have to be careful how we connect these dots. We're King's kids. This is how we think and how a lot of people think if we're not careful. We're King's kids, so therefore we own everything because, well, He owns everything. And as joint heirs with Him through Christ Jesus, we also own everything. So then we kind of have this sense of, all right, we conclude that since God owns everything and we're King's kids, that we could and we should have everything that we want or pray for because our loving Heavenly Father would never hold back any good thing from His children. And so what we do is we consider that God's abundance is for us, and we certainly have to understand that it is available in our lives, but this gospel that Jesus came to die for is not the gospel of name it and claim it. God is not a name it and claim it God. See, God is not some Pez dispenser or some vending machine where you punch in B12 and out comes a Snicker bar of blessing. God is not a vending machine. You can't pull a lever and out pops your blessing. That's not what Jesus came to die for. We've manipulated this thing over the years. And unfortunately, I've seen people abandon their faith because God didn't answer their prayers in the way that they wanted, based on their own desires or what they thought was best. God is not in the business of raising spoiled, entitled children who get whatever they want. That's not growing up in the Lord. And who knows, and Lord knows there's plenty of entitled, spoiled children out there in the world today. But God's intention is not for us to be that kind of people spiritually. He's trying to grow us up. And as I said, I've seen people abandon their faith as a result of them praying, oh God, please save my child. Please heal that person, my loved one. Please provide for my needs. Please give me that Cadillac. And none of it happens. That child doesn't get well, or that person dies. That need is not provided for. You don't get that Cadillac. And we walk away going, well, God's not God. He must not care. Prayer doesn't work. This whole thing's a sham. Well, who's being God in that situation? We need to trust that God knows the end from the beginning, because that's what God's Word says. And that we pray, the Bible says to make our petitions known, doesn't it? So we pray for those needs. We pray for that healing. We pray for God to intervene, for God to show up. And He does. But if He doesn't do it in the way that we want Him to, then we get disappointed. We get mad. We shake our fist and we walk away. How about instead, let's let God be God. Let's make our petitions known. Let's pray. Let's plead. Let's intercede. Let's do what we need to do. And then we leave the rest to the Lord, because He knows what's best. And that is a balance between the two. The naming and claiming is way over here. Oh, I just believe that whatever I... Fine. Walk that out. Good luck with that. Over here, well, we just... Who needs to pray? Because God's going to do whatever He wants to anyway. No, that's the wrong camp there too. Let's get in the middle of this thing and say, you know what? I'm going to make my petitions known. But I'm also going to let God be sovereign. I'm going to be part of the process, but I'm going to trust Him that He knows what's best. And as we pray, here's another part of it. Maybe you've never done this, or maybe you've not thought about it. But when you pray, ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Because when you let the Holy Spirit pray through you, you'll know that when you're praying, it's going to be the will of the Father instead of your own will. Jesus actually prayed that prayer in the garden. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your be done. He says, take this cup from me. Remember that? I mean, He didn't want to go through it. His physical body said no. His mind was saying no. But then His spirit man took over and He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was really saying, God, if there's any other way, then please do that. But if this is the only way, here I am. And let's finish up this process. And let's finish up this journey. And I place my trust and my faith in you. That's a great example of where we need to be with Him in every area of our lives. And that way we won't get discouraged, disappointed, angry at God, and walk away like a spoiled child. Or on the other hand, just coast along and be lethargic and do nothing about it on this side and say, well, God's going to do what he wants to anyway. It's time to engage, but let the Holy Spirit pray through you so that you can be more on target with what God's heart is. I would much rather let the Holy Spirit pray through me. And this is not in my notes, but I'd much rather let the Holy Spirit pray through me and pray the will of the Father than me to step in and say, Lord, this is what I want, and I want. Holy Spirit, if you'll check me on those things, just check me and help me to shut up when I need to shut up. Stop saying those things that are selfish and that are not of your will. And help me to be discerning as to what to pray and how to pray it. And then I'm going to trust you with the results. Amen? That one's kind of a free of charge over there. That was an extra bonus little message, okay? Had nothing to do with these notes here today, although the Holy Spirit knows exactly what he's doing here today. Jesus did come that we might have life and have it to the full. Aren't you thankful for that? But this fullness isn't what the name it and claim it gospel proponents preach it to be. He came and died and rose again to restore us back to right relationship with God the Father. That's the primary reason why he showed up and did what he did. His primary goal and desire for us is to be saved from our sins, to rescue us from hell, and to restore us back to right relationship with God the Father here on this earth, and one day in eternity in heaven, which I believe is going to be very, very soon. So, yes, Jesus wants us to have a blessed and abundant life in every single area. But as it relates to the business of souls, remember he's the CEO, his business is souls, and we're his employees. His word says in Matthew 6:33 this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. That's the priority, and that's where you're going to live a healthy, balanced life of faith in Christ as you walk that out, seeking first his kingdom. Think about it. That's what Jesus did. As I talked about it, he in the garden prayed to his Father, but then he yielded his will to the Lord. His entire focus, Jesus' entire focus, was God's business plan of souls for his kingdom. In fact, Jesus said these very words in John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. That's God, his Father. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Now, Jesus could have gone multiple different directions with this. He says, for I have come down from heaven to, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He could have said, I've come down from heaven to do the will of him who sent me, but also I got some plans of my own. And I hope that at the end of my life, I'll have a large 401k, and I'll have this big old house, and I'll have a lot of titles, and I'll be able to travel all around the world, and I'll really accumulated a lot of stuff. Oh, and to do the will of the Father. There was an entire 100% focus on the will of the Father here. There was nothing else added. But then when you add that to Matthew 6:33, to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto us, we have to understand that God knows we have needs. Physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, those are needs. And there's nothing wrong with goals. There's nothing wrong with putting back some money for retirement. There's nothing wrong with having good investments. There's nothing wrong with getting good education. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. They're all important and they all play together, but God's kingdom comes first. And then from that, it flows down into these decisions that we make in our lives. Who we will marry, where we will retire, where we're going to go to school, where we're going to work, a myriad of things. Everything in our lives has to go through the sieve and the filter of God's kingdom first. I was talking even with someone this morning in rehearsal. Hey, I'm getting ready to go to college next fall. I'm so excited. I got accepted to a particular college, and I'm going to go. Of course, there's another college that I want to go to as well, and I'm not really sure what's going on with that. And I said, hey, let me just tell you something. Of course, here I am, the preacher in me, okay? I'm going to always put it back into perspective. And this doesn't just apply to this gentleman who's going to college, this young man. This is for all of us. I told him, I said, listen, you know what? Yeah, you may be going to the school to get an education, and that's great, you need to. That's going to be a great career goal that you've got in mind.
Do it.
But understand that your goal is to get that diploma, but God's goal is that he has some assignments for you in that particular city where that college is located, because he knows who's going to be there when you're there, and you've got some light to shine and some salt to shake, and you've got some people to invest into their lives and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's goal for your life. You may think you're going there to get an education, and you are, but God has some plans for you to expand his kingdom because you're an employee of his business. And so if our perspective is that way in every area of our lives, yeah, you're going there to get a paycheck. Yeah, you're living in your neighborhood and you want to make sure your grass is cut good. Yeah, you're going to walk into the grocery store and get your groceries. But, you know, you're not just there to get groceries. You're not just there to cut your grass. You're not just there to get a paycheck. But there's souls, there's people, there's lives that he has assigned for us to do. And if our first goal is to seek first his kingdom, then what we're going to see is not people that are different than us, that maybe are strange, or maybe that you don't want to connect with them or anything like that. But all of a sudden, you have a heart like Christ did. And he was drawn to the people that had needs, like the woman at the well, like the man that was sick on the bed, like the blind person, like Lazarus in the tomb. And he reached out to people and he touched lives and transformed them, because his goal was to see expansion and abundance, because God is in the business of abundance and not lack. And so as it relates to our lives, what is he in the business of abundance all about? These things that we would seek first is not about things. It's all about our text, which brings us back to Ezekiel chapter 47, because his business is souls. Ezekiel 47, we're going to look at verse 7 and verse 9 and 10. When I arrived, this is Ezekiel speaking, when I arrived back at the bank of the river, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Think about that. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Many people that are walking in death today will live as the river of life flows out from us and touches people's lives. That's what God's word is saying today. There's going to be a large number of fish. In other words, they're not going to be just a tiny little harvest. There's not going to be just a tiny little fish net filled up. It's going to be such a vast number that your nets are going to break. The churches, I believe the church's best days are ahead of us, and that God is going to pour out his spirit, and these churches are going to be filled, and we're going to see a vast, large number of fish, because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. Remember the brackish saltiness that is in people's lives that can sustain no life, as the flowing river, fresh river of life flows out from us, makes their saltiness fresh and brings life to them. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. Listen to this. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. I like this part. The fish will be of many kinds, red and yellow and black and white. The fish will be of many kinds, old and young, male and female. The fish will be of many kinds, Muslims and Buddhists and those that have no religion at all. The fish are going to be in many kind. Those that are walking a lifestyle of homosexuality. Those that are walking in perversion. Those that are walking in deceit. There's going to be fish of many kind. It's not just going to be little old fish of all the same kind. A bunch of little white fish. Or a bunch of little, you know, fish that are like us. Right? There's going to be fish of many kind. In other words, there's no limit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no limit to the flowing water of Christ, that powerful flow of us that can reach and impact lives that are walking in deceit and in bondage. There's going to be many, many, many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. That's what I see God's church as, where we are right now and what's happening all across the world. And I want this church, this body of Christ, to get into that action right there. That's what I want. How about you? So there's a lot of challenges. 2020, I don't know if you've heard, but it's been a challenging year. But in those challenges, there's also many opportunities. I mean, you think about what business people do. You've seen it. This year, the people that are really creative, they see the situation, they see the challenge, they see the opportunity, but they also see the opportunity. And they say, okay, all of a sudden, there's all kinds of mask businesses opening up. And you can get all kinds of cool masks and the different sorts of things and all that. 12 months ago, who cares? This year, there's businesses, little cottage businesses popping up, and they're doing quite well selling masks. Because these people saw the opportunity. Was there a challenge? Yeah. But they didn't sit back and say, well, there's nothing we can do about this. They said, hey, how can we create some cool masks that are you can breathe through and still see people's face or have some funny images on them or do some different stuff to set ourselves apart? And let's sell a bunch of those masks. And they're doing it. For us, there's a lot of challenges as the church in 2020. But instead of us just sitting back and saying, oh, these challenges, there's nothing we can do about it. Oy vey, what are we going to do? We can say, wait a minute, what a great opportunity for us to tweak some things, to rearrange some things, to totally get rid of this stuff and do this instead. Because if you remember, the second part of God's goal is one of transformation, not stagnation, right? He's always on the grow. He's always changing. He's always revolutionizing things. And so as a church and as individuals, Lord, how can I present the gospel? How can we as a corporate body present the gospel? How can we be impactful for the kingdom in a different way? It's the same gospel, but in a different way so that I can address the concerns and the fears and the issues that are going on in people's lives. In the midst of these challenges, there's all kinds of opportunities around us. Think about this. Suicides, depression, drug use, domestic violence, alcohol abuse, and anxiety have all increased this year. That's the problems, right? That's the issues and the challenges. People have lost their jobs. They've been ordered to stay indoors. They've been ordered to stay away from each other. And they're living in fear and they're living in uncertainty as the news goes from bad to worse. It's going to be a dark winter, I think someone said. It's going to be a really dark winter. And it's in this environment that the church can insert and enmesh themselves and invade those things with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the environment that is existing right now that we have nothing to do with the environment, but we have everything to do with the opportunity to turn it around in people's lives. The problem that I've seen is that same sort of anxiety, depression and all has actually gotten into the church. I've had to walk this out with some folks here. I've seen it, and I've talked with people about it in our country. They're living in fear. They're struggling in certain ways. They're walking in anxiety. And as many people have gotten their eyes off of Jesus and onto the problems around them. Church, let me challenge you. Let me remind you. Let me just bring you back in here. Get your eyes off of the stuff and get your eyes back on Christ. And He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't walk in depression. Don't walk in anxiousness. Stop walking in fear. Don't lose heart. I think Jesus actually saw this situation, among other things, when He said these very words in John 16:33. Put it to right now where we are in December 2020, because Jesus is telling each of us, and if you're watching here today, listen to me. This is what Jesus is telling the Church of Jesus Christ right here today. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Well, ain't that an understatement? But then this is where He turns the corner. He says, but take heart. But take heart. Listen to this. This is Jesus saying it. I have overcome the world. See, when we get our eyes on this stuff, oh no, oh the election, oh and the coronavirus, and all of the riots, and all of the political upheaval, and all the stuff that's going on in the world, and my job, and the finances, what am I going to do? That's exactly where Satan wants you. Because you can't be effective for Christ. You can't be a good employee of Him. When all you're doing is wondering about all the little widgets all around you. Oh, I hope I have enough supplies here. Listen, He's going to take care of all that stuff. You just do your job. You stay focused on what Jesus has called us to do our job, right? Amen. And He says, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff in this world you're going to have trouble with, but take heart. I've overcome that. All that stuff out there that's distracting you, stop looking at it and keep your eyes fixed on Me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Me. Just watch Me and do what I ask you to do. I got the rest of this stuff. God's got this. God's got it. When Jesus said, it is finished, I think He saw COVID-19. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and seeing all that He was seeing, I think He saw your anxiety. I think He saw your fear. I think He saw your stress. I think He saw 2020 when He said that. And He's here today to remind you that He's in control and that God's got this. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven in John 14:27, He said this to you, and he's saying this to us today. Listen to this. Receive this. Absorb it into your spirit right now as I say it. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes and just don't even look around, and let me speak this over you. This is Jesus speaking to you today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do you receive that this morning? Do you receive that this morning? Say, Lord, I receive your peace. Say, Lord, I receive it. You see, the peace that the world gives is temporary. The peace that the world gives is limited. The peace that the world gives is substantial. It has its substances. Maybe we're drinking or doing some sort of drugs or something. Maybe it's some sort of relationships. Some sort of, if I can just have someone love me and just make love to them and just get in some illicit affairs and stuff like that and just get out there and get into the world. It's material things. If I can just have this little widget, this little thing, this little toy, it's going to make me happy. It's going to give me peace. It's material things, but none of those things last. And none of those things are dependable. God's peace counters trouble and fear. God's peace gives us strength to continue and causes us to rest in the midst of all of the storms of our life. His peace that passes all understanding will rule our hearts and our minds. He's left us that peace. So I encourage you today, if you see it sitting around right now where you are, pick it up. Kind of visualize that there's a big old beautiful package of peace wrapped in a beautiful bow sitting right there next to you. If I were to give you a big old present right now, set it in front of you, say, open it up. Just like Christmas time, you know how that goes. We're going to rip that package open and look and see what's inside and apply it to our lives in some way. Well, that's what Jesus has done right now. He's set a big old box in front of you with a big beautiful red bow saying, here's my peace. Now open it up. Just open it up and apply it. Put it on daily. Wrap yourselves around it. Let it wrap around your hearts. Let it wrap around your mind. And let it cover you. And let it reign and rule over your life today. Amen. God's peace. Amen? Amen? So let's pull way back from those things the enemy would like us to focus on. And let's fix our eyes again and daily on the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And let's be about our Father's business, the business of souls. Satan would love to have you distracted with everything but that. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and we're wise to his ways, and we're not going to be distracted anymore, amen? Amen? God's got this. In a time where everything has been turned upside down, I believe with all my heart that this is the greatest time ever to share with others the good news of the solid foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. In a time of ramped up anxiety and hopelessness, I believe that it's a great time to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Rather than be part of the problem and add to people's worries in our conversations with others, what about that COVID? Oh yeah, what about it? What if I lose my job? Yeah, what if you do? Oh, I hope I don't get sick. Oh, I hope you don't either. And we just kind of commiserate with people. We don't add anything positive. We just let them keep going down that path, and we kind of join them with it. Those are great opportunities to say, yeah, but God's word says. Yeah, but you know what? I believe we can point people to Jesus. They're just landing in our laps all day long, aren't they? These opportunities. So instead of us commiserating with people, instead of joining in their worries, what if we got folks' eyes off of their problems and onto the solution, onto the answer, onto the hope and the peace that we found in Jesus, and they could have it too? Those are really two main options that we have. And I would say I'm in the camp of, hey, God, use me to point people to you. I tell you what, I don't want to be around someone that's mopey-dopey and sad and anxious all the time. I mean, that get me down. Wouldn't it get you down? I mean, that kind of rubs off. I mean, I want to rub off on people in the right way, in a hopeful way, in a peaceful way, in a joyful, positive way, in a way that points people to Christ. I'm not asking you to get into a debate with people. I'm just suggesting that you provide for them an offer. I'm not asking you to get in some sort of argument with people. I'm just asking you if you would find someone to give them a truthful, life-giving promise. It's just that simple. We don't have to debate. Oh, I'm Buddhist. Great, be a Buddhist. But let me tell you about Jesus. Right? What has Buddha done for you lately? Let me tell you what Jesus has done. I'm not here to get into an argument with you. I'm just here to point to you I'm going to plant and water, and God's going to bring the increase. I'm just going to point you to Jesus and let Jesus take care of the rest. Amen? God's word says that if we plant and water, he's going to bring the increase. So his Holy Spirit's going to lead us to the right people at the right time and give us the right words to say if we simply just open up our mouths and share Jesus. If we lift him up above everything else. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. So that's all we have to do. God is in the business of abundance and not lack. Everywhere the river of his Spirit flows out from us and touches, it brings abundance. I want to tell you a story. At 10 years old, 1972, my mother's father, my grandfather, passed away. We lived in Southern California, and he lived in Arkansas. So my mom and I and my aunt, which is her sister, and then my two cousins, which is my aunt's two children. I'm not sure why anybody else couldn't go, but it was these two ladies in the front seat and three kids in the back seat of a 1970 Impala. Okay, you got that? It's a big car, a lot of room. But I remember driving from, we lived in Southern California at the time. I lived there till I was 14 years old, and I thought that it was kind of like all the nation looked like Southern California. And if you understand where I grew up in Southern California, I guess as you go back there now, you would think, well, this is kind of a desert. It's kind of a desert. The green grass grows when you really want it to. Here it grows where you don't want it to, but there, you have to kind of will it to live, you know. You're planting a tree, you're planting grass, and then you water the hound out of it and hope that it does a little patch of grass. But I just remember as a kid, throughout the year, there'd be tumbleweeds that would just blow by our front door, you know. Well, everybody has a tumbleweed at this time of the year. I lived in a desert in Rialto, San Bernardino, California. We got in the car and drove that lower part of the interstate through Arizona, through New Mexico, through Texas. And the landscape looked fairly the same. Rocky mountains, hills, very little green, just very little green. It just looked like a big old, you know what southwestern part of the nation looks like if you've ever seen pictures. Just picture the Grand Canyon and just multiply that out by thousands of miles in several states. And so I'm right in the back seat, but my mom's driving or whoever, and as we got closer into Texas, we got closer to the Mississippi River, something amazing began to happen to the landscape. And at 10 years old, I began to realize, hey, look at this. What's this stuff? Oh, those are trees and grass. I've read about that. I've heard about those things. And the closer we got to the Mississippi River, the greener it got. And by the time we crossed over the Mississippi River and into Arkansas, we were in the South. And everything was green. And there was, you know, humidity and mosquitoes and poison ivy and all that fun stuff that we get to put up with. But it was green, 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 green. Everywhere was green. Totally different than where I grew up. What I realized at that point was that there's different places in this world that look like different, you know, different landscapes and stuff. My point is this. As we're going through our lives and as we're living our lives, this river that flows out from us has the capacity, if we allow it, to make the arid, desert, barren areas green and lush tropical greenery if we allow it. Here's another part that I want you to be careful with. Again, as a 10-year-old boy, that's all I knew was that climate and that topography of very little green. And I thought as a 10-year-old boy that the whole world was like that. And my eyes were open as I got closer to the Mississippi River and was in Arkansas for those days, realized, okay, that's not the truth. And spiritually speaking, if we're not careful, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to think, well, this fruitfulness, this greenery, this life-giving that's coming and emanating from me is limited, and because that's all I've ever experienced. That's all I know is that kind of rockiness and maybe a tree every once in a while, a little patch of grass. But God's desire for your life and mine is that we wouldn't be like the southwestern part of the country where you have to just will to make grass grow. But it would be more like the southeast where you have to go out and spray Roundup to kill the grass, right? It just grows everywhere. God's will for our lives spiritually is that we would be so green, there would be such a greenery and such a fruitfulness and such a lushness from us. Because you see, God is in the business of abundance and not lack. He desires for us to be abundant in our employment effectiveness for him, that we produce well for him. So whatever it is that is in your life, I want to say to you today that there's more. Remember we talked about the whole thing about God being in a business of abundance and not lack? And if we're not careful, we're going to go into this name it and claim it sort of gospel, and we kind of get disappointed when God doesn't want to do what we pray him to do. But God is saying to you, there is more. But it's all about my business. It's all about souls for my kingdom. There is more. There is more in your life. There is more that he wants to produce. And verse 9 and 10 talks about this: these swarms of living creatures that were in the river. There was a large number of fish, and fishermen were there spreading their nets with the opportunity to catch a wide variety of fish. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that there's more. God wants to do more in your life. Look around. There's a large quantity of and a variety of fish out there in our community. And each one of us have the right kind of bait to catch our fair share. I'm here to tell you today that there's more. There's more that God has for you. He wants you to have a fertile spiritual womb. As fishers of men, we have an unprecedented opportunity to cast our nets to a vast and varied sea of souls that need Jesus desperately. And as we've heard so many times, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The issue is not the need for souls. Oh God, if you just bring a soul to me, hey, they're there. If you throw a rock, you'd hit 10 of them between here and Home Depot probably, right? It's not the matter of souls that are needed. It's the need for workers that the Bible says. And it's always been that way. As we allow this river of life to flow out from us, we can explode like dynamite in their lives and see an abundance of harvest, a bumper crop of people coming to know Jesus in this unprecedented time of 2020. What the devil's meant for evil, God is turning it around for good. And I believe, as I said before, the church's best days are ahead. God is in the business of abundance and not lack. And as we near the return of Christ, it would behoove us to get our focus off of whatever is keeping us down and distracted and ineffective for Christ, and get our eyes back on him again. I can't promise you that with the flip of the calendar to 2021 that all of our challenges from 2020 will magically disappear. But what I can promise you is that the same Jesus that has been the Lord over 2020 will be the Lord over 2021 and beyond until he returns for his bride, you and I, the church. So let's just let Jesus take care of the big stuff. All this other distractive stuff. Let's not worry about the future. God holds the future in his hands, and we are also in the palm of his hands. And I just want to make sure that you understand that as Jesus takes care of the big stuff, we instead can pray for fertile spiritual wounds, for full nets to be drawn back into our boat. Let's pray for an abundance of souls, for swarms of souls, as we pray, and not just pray, but put legs on our prayers and are part of this last day's outpouring of his mighty Holy Spirit, that river flowing out from us and transforming every life that it touches. I'll say it one more time. God is in the business of abundance and not lack. And his primary goal is souls. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father God, we thank you this morning for this time here today. And Father, we're challenged once more to be about our Father's business. And Lord, you know exactly what that looks like. You have a unique assignment for us just as employees of a physical business here in our workplaces. If we're assigned to a particular machine to create a particular widget, to do a particular task, we're not going to leave that and go way over here and be a bookkeeper and take care of something that way. We're not going to veer from the task that you put in our unique task and assignment that you put in front of us to do. Lord, you place the body of Christ together and put all the beautiful parts together so that we all might function well to bring glory to your name. Not all of us can be the eye. Not all of us can be the hand. Not all of us can be the mouth. But all of us together as the body of Christ can do our part to bring glory to your name and strength to your people and see your kingdom expanded. Father, I pray that you sober us, convict us, show us what we need to do, redirect us, help us to get refocused back on you and to be about our Father's business of souls. Father, we thank you that we are your children, sounds so cold to say that we're your employees, but as the analogy goes, we understand that. But really, we have a unique relationship as your children, and you're our Father. And that's a much more intimate relationship than an employee to a boss. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that, yeah, we're walking with you as your child, and you're our Father, and we take you by the hand, and you're guiding us. But at the same time, we also are your employees, and we are an extension of you. We're your representatives. We're your mouth. We're your hands. We're your feet. You live in each one of us as that temple. You're not in one building now. You're in millions of buildings that have legs on them and mouths that can speak and hearts that can feel compassion. And I pray, God, that that river that is inside of us, as we read in Ezekiel 47, that river didn't stay inside the building. It flowed out, and it impacted everywhere that it touched with life and abundance. Lord, let that river that's in us not stay in us, but let it flow out from us, and let it, like exploding dynamite, impact people's lives everywhere we go. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would flow out from each of us. Let us be not a vessel, but a conduit. Let us be, Lord God, not somebody that just holds on to your blessings, but allows them to pour out, realizing that there's no limitation to your blessings. There's no limitation to your power. We're not going to expend or use up any of those things from you. There is a never-ending supply of your anointing, a never-ending supply of your boldness, a never-ending supply of your power in our lives. Let it flow out. We volunteer. We say, Lord, use us. Make a difference through us. Expand your kingdom through us. Oh God, help us to see people like you see them. Souls. Souls for the kingdom. As we go from this place in this huddle, Father, we now say break. And now we go out from this place and say, all right, now, Lord, use me. Let the river of your power and your life and your hope and your glory and your good news flow out from me. And let it be like exploding dynamite to make a difference and impact lives all around. You're in the business of abundance and not lack. And that first thing that you're desiring to be abundant in is souls. So, Lord, through us, do that work. Expand through us. Transform through us. Be abundant through us. And we thank you for this. With every eye closed and head bowed, I just want to give you this opportunity. I've talked a lot about salvation, but I don't know if maybe today you need to ask Jesus into your heart before you leave here today. Maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you've never received the Lord. Maybe you're just not sure. Today, before we leave, before we dismiss, I want to give you that opportunity to ask Jesus in your heart. Maybe you're rededicating your life. Whatever it may be, I want you to just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me, and I need Jesus. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Just put it up. Put it right back down. And we're going to pray together in just a moment. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Anybody else? Three people. Anybody else? Church, please pray. Anybody else? Souls are hanging in the balance right now. I just need you to pray. The Holy Spirit is doing a work. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Put it right back down. We'll pray together, all of us together, out loud. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Quickly, quickly. I'm just going to just take a few more moments here. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. Four. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly. Okay. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm going to wrap this up in just a few moments. Okay, five people. Anybody else? Quickly. Okay. I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud with your eyes closed, head bowed. Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. That's it. It's a simple prayer, but it's a prayer prayed in faith. Don't just repeat these words after me. Mean them. And let's pray together now. Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I thank you that you died for my sins. You shed your blood for me, and you rose again from the dead. I place my faith in you now as Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I commit to serve you from this day on. And I thank you now that I'm restored back to right relationship with God the Father through your finished work. And it's in your powerful name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, as we continue to pray and our eyes are closed and head bowed, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just fill each one that raised their hands but also didn't raise their hands. Everybody in this place, fill us with your power. Make who you are be real and alive to us. Lord, I pray that we've made you our Savior, which is a decision that we made right here. Now we need to make a decision from this moment on to allow you to be the Lord of our lives. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just, by your Spirit, identify those things in our lives, habits, lifestyles, choices that we've made, things that we say and do, things that are not pleasing to you. Holy Spirit, convict us. Show us of those things in our lives that don't belong, and help us to repent of those and begin to sanctify us, begin to make us more like Christ in our words, in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our goals, and in every way. We allow you to be the Lord of our lives, our bodies, our minds, our possessions, our emotions, our finances, our relationships, everything. We give you the reins. We give you full access to every area of our lives. Father, may we swing wide all of the compartments of our life and allow the light of your glory to shine brightly and to bring cleansing and to bring wholeness and to bring life into all of those dark areas. Help us to trust you, Lord God, with every area of our life. To not shrink back, to not be afraid, to not be ashamed, but to just say, Lord, I give this all to you. And I'm not going to let shame or fear or flesh get in the way of me yielding to you completely every area of my life, so that you can truly be Lord. And I can be that pure vessel for you to flow that river of life out from, to be like dynamite, exploding dynamite. To everyone that I meet. Lord, that's our prayer. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen.